Father, I thank you for the privilege of again opening the word to your people. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your goodness unto us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Thank you, Johnny and Dorothy and Rhoda. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Luke chapter 3. Sitting in the back room here, as Reverend John Townsend so beautifully handled this Sunday evening service, I was thinking again how thankful a man has to be for his people. How grateful. You know, you have to pinch yourself to see if you're still living sometimes, and pinch yourself or hit yourself over the head or something to see if it's really real. But I can hardly believe that once again we'll have almost 1,200 people in the advanced class after this week. 400 in Indiana and 800 in Emporia. When I used to teach the advanced class to 2 or 3 people, and it just has to be God. And God moving on the hearts and lives of our people, and our people standing in the community and witnessing to others. I was also thinking tonight, Mrs. Wirwell and I, at about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, came back from the woods. I hadn't been to the woods for a long time and wanted to see what the way woods looked like. And on the way home when we came back here, I saw Dan and Marilyn Friedley. And later on, as we visited a little bit, and then later on I got to thinking about people that were in my church in Van Wert, like Dan and Marilyn. We were in the church, I think, in Van Wert for about some 14, 15, 16 years. I don't remember how long we were there. But they were members of our church then, and they still come on Sunday night here to the Way International headquarters. And others of our people, like Sam and Dorothy Ralston, he was on one of the elders of the church, and Ivor and Evelyn Jones. Gosh, we've just had some wonderful, wonderful people all through these years. And I tell my kids at times, I don't know if I'd drive a mile to hear me teach, but we have people drive a lot further than that. Remind me of Barbara Gere. Barbara said that once a month they used to come all the way from New York, drive all the way in for a Sunday night service, and after the service, visit a while, turn around and drive all the way back to New York City just to be in a Sunday night service. So we have some real people that are real dedicated, and people really love God, and I'm real grateful for it. One of the things no man can ever express to anyone else is the inner depths of your soul, I guess, but this is the week that I'll have the opportunity for the first time to give a core certificate to one of our children, our daughter Sarah. And she's not listening tonight on the dial of Sunday night, so I can talk about it a little, see. But this is Sarah's, this is not Sarah's core certificate, but this is Sarah's certificate, which is from the Way College of Biblical Research, Indiana campus, where we are registered to offer degrees for our ministry around the country. And it says on here, in recognition of satisfactory completion of the Way Core program, the Board of Trustees, on nomination by the faculty, has conferred upon Sarah Catherine Wirwell the degree of Associate of Theology, and has declared the recipient entitled to all the rights and privileges which pertain to that degree. Signed at the Way College of Biblical Research, Indiana campus, by the Way International Board of Trustees, this 17th day of July in the year of our Lord, 1980. It's already signed by the Vice President and Secretary and Treasurer. All it needs is my signature to make it official. But I can't tell you tonight how much this means to me, to be able to share that with our daughter this week, because it's the first one in our family that I'll have the privilege of sharing it with. And The only difference between an associate of theology degree and a bachelor of theology degree is that the people who get the bachelor of theology degree have a college education or commensurate to it. They have a baccalaureate degree before they come in the Corps. In other words, they have bachelors. We have people with bachelor degrees. We have people with master's degrees. We have people with PhDs. We have medical men. They are all degreed people before they come in the Corps. Then they receive a bachelor theology degree. All the rest who have not graduated from college, like our Sarah has not graduated from college, she gets an associate of theology. They all learn the same. It's just a matter of terminology. But so blessed to be able to share this with her, because I know the greatness of it and the amount of the Word of God that she understands and has been given to her. And at her age of 23, she knows more than her daddy did at 45, by far. At least it's been made available to her. She may not have had the experience daddy did at 45, but she knows. And for that, I'm really, truly grateful. Well, you just have to thank God, as I was telling Vince in the back room, this ministry is absolutely of grace, not of works, lest any man blow. And it's just God's mercy and His love that makes it possible for us to keep going on week after week to share the greatness of God's Word. And I was also thinking, sitting back there through the years when we were in Van Wert, ministered in that wonderful church among our people there, how much I love those people, that I used to tell God that if He didn't do something great, you know, some magnificent, something wonderful, did a miracle that week, I just wouldn't have any illustrations to utilize on Sunday. And for many, many years, whenever I used an illustration in the teaching, or what they call preaching in the church, I would be able to document it with something God had done among the people that week. And then, of course, once I saw a television show called Mission Impossible. So I decided to change it to Mission Possible. And that's where we are tonight. I'd like for you to look at Luke chapter 2. And like to begin reading with verse 42. And when He, Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, that is, with the people, went a whole day's journey. And then that evening they sought for him, for Jesus, among their kinsfolk, that's their relatives, and their acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, or as one of the texts reads, on the third day. That is, that day would be counted one, the next day two, the following day three. They found him where? In the temple. They found him in the temple. Apparently, that's the last place they would look for him. Because in the temple, there would be the meeting of the top echelon of Judaism called the 70. See, 70 people who were responsible for the running of Judaism. And there he was sitting in the midst of the doctors. At 12 years of age, people, sitting in the midst of those men, 70 of them, who were responsible for the running of Judaism, the religious leaders, both hearing them and doing what? Asking them questions at 12 years of age. And all that heard him, all the doctors of those 70 who heard him, were astonished, and the word astonished means they were flabbergasted, they were shook at his what? Understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, the parents, they were amazed. Joseph and Mary were amazed also. In verse 47, the doctors were astonished. Joseph and Mary were amazed. Amazed. Amazed at what? That their 12-year-old son was sitting among all of that top religious brass. And his mother, Mary, said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. But, verse 51, he went down with them back home to Nazareth, was subject unto them, was obedient unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. She pondered them. She thought about them. She wondered, what's really going on here? And Jesus, verse 52, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In biblical research, among many, many things that you have to check, one of the things that I always do is to check its first usage. Here in chapter 2 of Luke, in verse 49, we have the first usage of anything that Jesus Christ ever spoke that is recorded in God's Word. Now, this is really significant and remarkable, people. How old was he? He was 12 years old. Now, he must have said something before 12, right? Most of our kids do. Most of us do say something before 12. And this is the first thing that's recorded in the Word of God that he ever said. Now, another thing, in order to sit among those doctors and hearing him and asking them questions, he must have been educated. He must have learned something. He was not a stupid 12-year-old sitting there asking asinine questions. Had he been asking stupid questions, they wouldn't have been paying any attention and they kicked him out. But here was a young lad of 12, so dynamic, so excited, so beautiful, that he was asking such intelligent questions that all those people, all those people who were members of the Sanhedrin, all those men stood up there, sat up there, whatever they did, and it said they were astonished. They were astonished at his what? Understanding and at his answers. He not only asked them questions, but he gave them some answers. Now, where in the world do you think he got those from? The Word. Oh, that must have been a time. A little 12-year-old sitting in the midst of men of Ph.D. caliber, so-called in our culture ordained, the Right Reverend so-and-so, the Bishop so-and-so, the Archbishop, Pope so-and-so, and he asking them what? I want to tell you, somebody had led that young boy into a knowledge of the Word. Somebody had taught him. No wonder his mother pondered all these things in her heart. That's right. And the first thing that's recorded after he was 12 years old is when they sought for him, verse 49, he said, "How is it that ye sought me? Or why were you looking for me? Did you not realize, or did you not know that I must be about my father's what?" First thing he said, "I must be about my father's what? Business." He didn't say I must be about my own business, now did he? If he'd have been God, he'd had to say that. He said he had to be about his what? Father's business. That's the first thing that's recorded of what he ever said. And he was 12 years old. Anytime you're working the accuracy and the integrity of God's Word, you have to go back to its first usage. You always check it. There are 40, 50 different things I always check. That's one. Always check its first usage. He had to be about his Father's what? Business. I shared some of this with the Corps in Gunnison, my graduating Corps, last week. We talked about some of these things, how we check the first usage all the time and go back and work that stuff. And one of the men sent me this letter. He said, thinking about you and the first words of Jesus Christ, I noticed that he had just completed his bar mitzvah. That's right. He had just gone through what in the Jewish circles is known as the bar mitzvah, the ceremony in which a Jewish boy attained the age of religious duty and responsibility. Whether or not anyone else recognized the importance of that ceremony, he did. For the word records that after the public ceremony, he said, I must be about my Father's business. The redemption of mankind, he was ready to assume his duties as a man. The truth was brought to my mind when you gave a rose to Sarah, this is our daughter, after I'd finished the evening teaching and we all got together in the tent and all the Corps was there. I took the rose that I'd been wearing that evening. And because our Sarah was there, it'd be her last Sunday night with her daddy and mommy in the meeting before her graduation. I gave to her the red rose that I was wearing. And this is what he's talking about. It was brought to my mind when you gave the red rose to Sarah last Sunday night. I believe the rose meant something to all of the Eighth Corps. A recognition. Not with sword or scepter, but a simple rose, the symbol of beauty and love, of our spiritual bar mitzvah. The ceremony of our religious duty and responsibility, a public announcement by God of the fully installed men and women to the work of the Lord. God has no hands but our hands, with which to give them bread. He has no feet but our feet with which to move among the almost dead. We say that we're his and he is ours. Deeds are the proof of that, not words. And these are the proving hours. By one of our graduating Eighth Corps men. He accepted that giving of that rose as his spiritual bar mitzvah. I love that. Love it very much. Wist ye not I must be about my what? Father's business. Wherever Jesus Christ went. Now there is no record between 12 years of age, honey, and at the time of his baptism by John the Baptist. At about 30 years of age. Another long period. And one of the great things that I always look for is what does the word not say? What is not written? What isn't in there? Up to 12, nothing. From 12 then to about 30, nothing again. It's remarkable, isn't it? What the word includes and what it doesn't include. Here he was at 12 years of age and he said, I must be about my Father's what? What do you think he was about for the next between 12 and 30? His Father's what? But there is no record in the Word of what he did. But he must have been about the Father's business. Later on in the Word, you read where he said, I always do the Father's will. I and my Father are one. People, what a tremendous truth. It's really significant. He was about the Father's business. And yet there's no record in God's Word telling us what he was doing between 12 and 30 to be about his Father's business, except verse 52, which says he increased in what? Wisdom. He increased in wisdom. So, the book of Psalms says that the reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if you want wisdom, you've got to come back to God, and God has to give it to you, people. A lot of difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge could be head stuff. Wisdom is knowledge applied. A man could have knowledge of a field, but lack wisdom because he does not apply it. Jesus Christ grew in wisdom, and growing in wisdom, I know he had to grow in knowledge. Boy, this sits here like a diamond, people. And I'm just trying to show the beauty of it to you and the simplicity of it. So every time you check, when you really work the word, the first usage, then there's another thing that I always check, and that is its last usage. What's the last thing that happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the first thing that's recorded. What's the last thing that's recorded? And that's in John 19. Boy, isn't this word wonderful. In John 19, you have the record of how Pilate took Jesus, scourged him, crown of thorns, all of that, took him out, nailed him to the cross. And after everything is done that they could possibly do to him, in verse 30 are the last words he ever spoke. When Jesus, 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is what? Finished. It is what? Finished. Those are the last recorded words in the Word of God that Jesus Christ ever spoke before his death. It is what? Finished. What was finished? The Father's, you got it. He opened with the Father's what? What is now, after all this expanse of years, finished? The Father's business. He came to do the Father's will. He always did the Father's will. He always carried it out. From the time the record calls here in verse 12, where he told Mary and Joseph that he had to be among the Father's business because he had gone through the bar mitzvah. He was committed. He was dedicated. He was everything else. Right till when he died upon the cross, it was the Father's what? When he died upon the cross, whose business was it? When he suffered persecution, whose business was it? When he was in the wilderness being tempted, honey, whose business was it? He was always doing the Father's what? Boy, what a record. I must be about my Father's business. First words. And the last words he spoke, it is finished. The Father's business was finished so that you and I could be redeemed and be here like tonight at the Way International headquarters and others listening in. This is why he was among the Father, about the Father's business, always doing the will of God. Tremendous truth. The whole mission, kids, the whole mission class of Jesus Christ upon earth was to do the Father's what? That is mission possible. He did it. He did it. Not mission impossible. He did it. be about the Father's business. It is finished. Take a look at Psalm 40. Boy, what a beautiful word of God. Psalm 40. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, in the scroll. The word volume is scroll. In the scrolls it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. In the scrolls it is written, I delight to do thy what? He was among the Father, doing the Father's what? Business. Take a look at Hebrews 10. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. Look at verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written. Where do you think they got that from? The book of Psalms. In the scroll it is written, to do thy will, O God. To do thy will, O God. Spoken here again of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had said, wist ye not I must be about my Father's business? In the scrolls it is written, I will do thy will. That's the Father's what? Business. To do the will of God, people, is the Father's business. Jesus Christ always did the will of God. He was in the Father's business. Now just think for a moment. There came later on what we know as the day of Pentecost, when for the first time in the history of the world, men and women were able to be born again of God's Spirit because Jesus Christ had always done the Father's will. It is what? Finished. Then God raised him. 40 days after his resurrection, he was upon earth. Then God ascended him, seated at the right hand of God 10 days later, Pentecost. And people for the first time were born again of God's Spirit, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, with Christ in them, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of what? Tonight, this July the 13th, 1980, born again of God's Spirit, where is Christ? In you. Christ is where? The hope of glory. Christ in you. So when you walk on God's Word with Christ in you, whose will are you doing? The Father's will. Oh, glory. That's right. As Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, did the Father's will, so you as sons of God, small s, sons of God, can also do the will of the Father. And be about the Father's business. 1 John says, beloved, now are we the sons, S-O-N-S, small s, of God. Sons of God. Because we're born of God. We're God's seed people. Boy, why doesn't the church ever believe this? Why don't they rise up? Because we are what the Word of God says we are. We have what the Word of God says we have. We'll be what the Word of God says we'll be. You got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. And He was doing the Father's will. He always did the Father's will, people. You and I perhaps don't always do the Father's will, but the potential is there, and whenever we do the Father's will, we are as much in alignment and harmony as Jesus Christ was with the Father. Oh, the church has lived so far below par, it's pitiful. Everybody's talked us out of it. Told us how big a sinners we are, how rotten, how we never amount to any. All that crap. Bunch of baloney. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Well, the whosoever is sitting out here and out under the apple trees. And listening by dialing a Sunday night. This week by tape all over the world. Listening. They're the ones. We are about the Father's business. Now, people, when you're about the Father's business, you will not necessarily receive all the plaudits of men. Did Jesus Christ get all the plaudits of men? He never made it in the junior chamber of commerce as the most outstanding young man of their community. But he was still doing what? The Father's business, sir. That's what's important. That you do the Father's business. Whether the world ever pats you on the back or not, it's not important. The important thing is, how do you stand before God? What does God say? Boy, there's a record in Matthew, kids. Chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 16. John the Baptist had just ministered water baptism to Jesus Christ so Jesus Christ could fulfill all the law. In 16, Jesus was baptized. He went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a what? Dove. And lighting upon him. And lo, verse 17. A voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved what? That's God. This is my beloved Son. The voice is God speaking. This is my beloved Son. 12 years old. He was among the Father's what? Down here when he was fulfilling the law of water baptism, he was still doing what? The Father's business. And the Father said, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. Why was he well pleased in Jesus Christ? Because he was about the Father's what? That's right. You see, the great desire of my heart, like must be the desire of your heart, and way people all over the world, is to be about the Father's business while we're living. I know that. But the one great thing that I'd like to hear him say someday when we see him in the gathering together to each and every one of our people of the Way Ministry and thousands of others that may be there I don't know about, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. What a statement to have God Almighty saying to you, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Why? Because you are about the Father's what? So let's stay about the Father's business, so that he too can say to us, this is my beloved son or my beloved daughter, born again of God's Spirit, in whom I am what? Well pleased. That's how you work the first usage and the last one and see all the great meat that's in the sandwich between. Thank you, Father, for the beauty of your divine presence, the simplicity and yet the greatness of your word. And Father, I thank you for allowing me again to open the simplicity of this word to your people tonight who have ears to hear and eyes to see, so that your word may live in our day and in our time. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.